Shalom and salutations, everybody. We are the Trophy Husbands.
You changed your intro because I made fun of you, didn't you? Sorry.
Not everything's about you, Luke.
He's done the Shalom and salutations before.
Really?
Yeah, he's done that before.
Yeah, man.
All right,
well, I've said it like in person. I don't know if I said it for this.
Yeah.
But all right is not the only intro.
All right.
I mean, if you go back, this is episode now 23. If you go back and listen, I'd say probably at least 18 or 19 of them are.
All right. Yeah, they are. They are. But they're not the only ones. They're not the only ones. But anyway, we're the Trophy Husbands. Right. I'm Marcus.
I'm Luke.
Steve.
And I am Nick. As I mentioned earlier, you were listening to episode 23.
So we figured...
Because no one likes you when you're 23 now, guys.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we figured out what was up with 22.
Yeah.
We recorded it, and apparently...
Steve had been trying to record some stuff off of his records, and... I didn't know, and I wouldn't have known how to fix the adjustments that he made anyway for the recording, so, my bad!
Yeah, it sounded like, I was telling him, it sounded like a fucking evocator just had sex with our recording, like...
I think the other one you said, what was, like, a rejected transformer?
Yeah, just got mad and fucked up the recording!
Yeah. Like, I worked with it, but yeah, it just wasn't going.
Like, well, Soundwave is cooler than me, but those... Oh, they're decibel! His younger brother that gets picked on.
But, alright, let's jump into it how we always do, guys. How was everybody's Friday?
Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
Hey, party.
Break a black and
party,
Baltimore.
And hey, party.
Friday was a great night in Baltimore. Went down to the Franco residence and brought Greg along as well. We just did our normal thing. Went down. We did not go to the Rockwell.
No diddler.
We were just like, Travis, we're not going to Rockwell. It's not happening. But guys.
No.
Just 5 minutes. We didn't even go to Fell's Point. And we left. That's right. Because we went to one bar and it was packed as hell. And we just weren't really feeling it. And then so, Travis was like, all right, should we go to Fell's Point now? It's like, dude, we just go to another
he's
bar.
He's trying to push it.
Yeah, he's like, why would we get another Uber? But, I actually met Tommy came out, and it was good catching up with him, and then pulled an accidental Sunrise Crew, which is atrocious, as per usual.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all just had a bad night, because our friend Sam, he didn't even make it up to his bed. He passed out on the couch, so I guess it's a success.
It's a successful Friday night. I can say for myself, I quite literally did like Jack Squat Friday. Alex came down, and we got dinner, and I think like half of the crew was basically down in Baltimore or out with like other things out of town, and so I didn't hear from anyone, and I'm just like, all right, whatever. So I mean, Alex and I literally just chilled in the entire Friday.
Oh,
nothing. Nothing going on.
There's a geriatric couple. Do you play bingo too?
They play spades with other geriatric couples. They call up Will and Liz when they're not out.
Oh. You mean when they come out sometimes now? Mm-hmm. Which I'm gonna get flack from Liz about saying that.
Oh, whatever, I said it. I don't give a shit.
Like Wayne Brady says, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. I don't give a fuck.
Accurate.
Well, what about you? What'd you do Friday?
Friday, just hit up Merce. Per huge.
Nice. Chilling and killing?
Yep, chilling, killing, grilling. All that good stuff.
They let you grill in Merce now?
Yep. Yeah, they do. Little,
they set you up with a bunch of different slices of nice steak. You got a filet, you got a porterhouse.
Oh, that's
please,
nice.
Please, like Merce would spend money like that.
Well, at least it'd be filled with a different kind of smoke then.
It doesn't feel like the ashtray is
no, that's what
your
it
throat
is.
Now.
It's a, they have a smoker for you, but what it is, it's just a bunch of cigarettes burning.
It's still that same smoked flavor, right?
Oh, God.
It's, it's not a smoker. It's a urinal.
Same difference.
Yeah. It all works.
Oh, you all feel really weird after using both of them. So,
you do anything then, Steve, Friday, or are you just chilling?
You saw what I did.
I don't remember.
It's the CD.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Steve, well, actually, this kind of goes into what happened on Saturday. I forgot, honestly. Steve went into, like, Master Chef mode because he was making himself
thought you were about to say Steve went into masturbate.
Masturbate mode. No.
I wish.
No, Steve came. Steve came back to the apartment around like.
Hey man, you ever fuck a pan of ziti and eat it? That's how you claim dominance on food, man.
Well, Steve came back on Friday around like 5 or 5:30 and just went to work on making these two huge pans of pasta. One that he was gonna have for dinner for him and Mags that night, and then one that leads into Saturday here now, for Steve Stein was having a little bit of a party up at his place, and it was a smaller one, like it was, I think he had invited like 10 or 12 people kind of thing, and so Steve had actually baked up this whole thing of baked ziti to take up there, and I'll just jump into my Saturday. Didn't do a whole lot on Saturday day, but then Saturday night went up to Harrisburg to Steve's place with Alex, and like I said, it's supposed to be like 10 or 12 people, but people started bailing out on it left and right, just being like, I had too hard of a Friday, like I couldn't make it, and so what it ended up being was myself, Steve Stein, Alex, and Steve and Maggie joined, and then they bounced out like after being there for an hour and a half or 2 hours, so it was just the three of us then just chilling, drinking, and eating the baked ziti that Steve so kindly brought up for everybody.
So how many severed heads did Steve have in his refrigerator?
Actually, besides the beer that I brought up and two six-packs that he had, the fridge was, like, empty.
Oh, my gosh.
It had, like, a carton of eggs, and that was
That's
it.
That's because he put them in the freezer in the basement.
Exactly. All right,
been in the basement, there's no freezer.
You weren't there when he bought it.
So, that was my Saturday, though. Like, we chilled, and we all got pretty good and toasted. Like, Steve's side definitely did. It was weird. He had, like, a quick fall-off. It was like he was going, and then Alex was saying it, too. He had, like, one beer, and then he was just like, done. He was done, and I was pretty good. I was like, all right, we'll just call it a night, and, like, we were done by, like, 1 or 1:30 kind of thing. And that was my Saturday night. And then I got a little bit for today, by the way, folks. We are recording on Sunday. Mm-hmm. But that was my Saturday, so how about the rest of you guys?
Well, my Saturday started with me walking back to Libby and John's at, like, 7? No. Like, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning? Mm-hmm. Yeah. First thing out of fucking Tom's mouth, I just said Libby and John's.
Yeah, I was correct.
Well, John basically does.
I mean, he practically does live there. You would think it, but John doesn't actually live there.
He doesn't. But first thing out of Tom's mouth, as soon as I see everybody, so I'm walking, and he's like, so, get some last night? I'm like, dude, the fuck? Like,
come on.
Hello, what's the fight?
Yeah, I'm well. How are you? Good to see you.
You get some? You get that in?
Yeah, it's just like, so you get some? And I'm just like, how about my own fucking business? How about we play that game?
Yeah, that's my favorite game.
Yeah, I love that. I'm a pro at that, and you should be too.
You should learn.
Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and be like, that's so weird to me when people are like, so, like, what happened last night? And they're just like, well, let me give you the fucking specs of the pumps per minute that I...
Then
so.
Then we slowed it down, switched position. Like, I don't need those details.
Yeah, even if it was...
So we all know what happened.
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
Yeah, like, what do you want to know?
What more do you need?
PPM, pumps per minute.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But even so, even, like... Even if something did happen, I'm not going to be like, meh, meh, meh. But if nothing happened, then even so, like, what if I just went and hung out? Like, but as soon as they saw me, Tom's just like, got it in. Yeah, he did. And fucking John was the same way at the bar. He's just like, so what happened? And I'm just like, I'm not fucking telling you. But that's the thing. Like, Tom was just like, yeah, like, what happened? Yeah.
And John was just like, hey, you get
this? No. John was just like, so what happened last night? Like, I know you didn't come back, so what happened? And I'm just like, it's not any fucking business. And he gives me, like, the firm nod. He's just like, don't kiss and tell. All right, I respect that. Takes a big swig
of
beer.
That was it.
Like, I was done. I was just like, I'm not gonna, like...
Respect!
Yeah. You gotta wait for the graphic novel.
Oh, God. No, stop it.
Down in Browntown, volume one.
Sounds like a poop story.
It's not. We've gone over this.
We have.
I know, but... Yeah.
So anyway, that was your Saturday morning, or beginning of your Saturday morning.
We went out. We went out again.
Yeah, last night. I didn't make it out till like super late because we just like recovery time was bad.
Yeah, I literally got home because Amanda dropped me home at like 11. I passed the fuck out. I slept till 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Jesus.
Woke up and then started doing like just regular bullshit homework, like busy work that professors assign, all that good shit.
Yeah.
But and then went back out again, and yeah, that's when like John was just like, "So what happened?" And then like Sam, fucking Sam. He, all right. So there was this girl, and she was taller. And he's just like, look at that girl over there. Doesn't she have a nice ass? And I'm like, which one? So he points to this girl, and he's just like, that one in the jean shorts. And I'm like, she doesn't have an ass. What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah, like she's a very good looking girl.
But nope. It's like flat.
The butt just wasn't there.
No.
It's not a bad thing.
Good. Maybe she traded a butt for personality. You never know.
They do that now? Like, you can trade in? Like, I'm sorry, I don't have a personality, but I've got this great butt. Can I swap?
It's like my ex. That's why she has a huge ass, probably. She has a shitty personality. Sorry.
Whoa.
Shady in the trophy husband today, but carry on.
How do you feel for real?
Tell me how you really feel.
But no, he was trying to, like, he was just like, well, she's taller, so, like...
It's stretched out.
Yeah. I'm literally having an aneurysm. Like, I'm screaming.
That's not how this works.
This is not how that works. Ever.
That's not how any of this works.
And it was funny, because it's him and me on one side, and it's Libby and Ben, and I'm trying to explain. I'm just like, no, that's not... But he's just like, but he's tall. And I literally fucking, like, I was so agitated, because I'm just like, that's not how butts work. Like, I was literally, like I was so intense. Like, I had like, stuck no. into this. It's like, that's not how this fucking works. Like, top of my lungs, literally.
That's not how butts work. That's not how any of this works.
And he's just like, I was just like, you know you can make a butt. Like, you can, that's when.
Yeah, and then he's like, no, you can't. Like, squats? Have you never heard of squats? Like,
squat day is a thing for real.
Have you never heard Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Yeah.
And then when he's talking about, like, well, she's taller. So, like, have you ever seen a tall girl with an ass? I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Girls who do squats.
Yes. I'm trying to... I was just
Luke's
so
just like, I'm taller and I have a butt.
No, I don't squat. No.
Mm-mm. I was just like mentally tapped out. I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore. I'm done with this.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like Sam and Tom, when they get their mind set on something,
oh, yeah, they're
just going to dart with it until it's run into the ground.
It was that not only room. Ran into the ground, it was on fire. And
burning in a pit.
Yeah, like, he was trying to throw that motherfucker in the Lazarus pit to bring it back. And I'm just like, no, nope. This is not...
Bring an edge to this.
Like, she... I was just like, she had to be, like, 22 at best. And I was just like, she didn't have fucking ass when Reagan was in office. And she wasn't alive then. So, like, leave it the fuck alone. Like, Christ in a handbag. Like,
yeah.
No.
She's just growing into it.
Yes.
Maybe she just got some really loose-fitting jeans.
They were jean shorts. They were like booty jean shorts.
Minus booty jean shorts with no booty?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she was cute. She was very cute. But homegirl had no backside. Like, let's call a spade
a spade.
Baby
don't
here.
Got back.
No.
No.
She has some front, but she ain't had no back. So... I don't know, but I think Sam was just, he's just like, she's cute, she has a butt, and I'm just like, no she doesn't.
No.
He was fixated on the idea, and I'm just like, you don't know shit about butts. There's a joke in there somewhere, and I'm not going to make it.
I see an infomercial for butt genie instead of...
Exactly. Fucking butt genie.
Trademark copyright trophy husbands.
Yeah. Butt genie. To go along with the inner selfie stick.
Yes. our whole line of clothes that we're going to be making.
Flop.
The flop.
Wait, we're making merch now?
Oh, you missed the whole thing
yeah,
last
yeah,
week.
Clearly. Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
But,
go back and listen to the Decibel episode. Yeah.
But then, Steve, you went to Hershey Park, right?
Did you?
Why do you look like a fucking Bond villain?
Yeah.
I think he's upset because I made him recoil back into the tent of heat. But he got to ride some of the rides that I've been telling about last time, like the Sky Rush and that kind of stuff.
It was fun. They were roller coasters.
I mean, roller coasters. They're my favorite.
Yeah. Well, they all actually, most of the roller coasters just started to blend in and seem the same. So.
Well, that's why I always like the ones that are a little bit different. Like, Sky Rush, for me, when I first went on it, like, that was a little bit different in comparison. But then, if you take
Great Bear... It's super boring.
Great Bear is just really generic now. Like, half the rides...
I remember when that first came out.
Oh, my God, it was amazing.
It was the big, totally fucking, like, new one.
Yeah, it was right. It was fantastic. It was, yeah, but, I mean, so many rides nowadays are just kind of a generic Great Bear. Like, essentially... If you're at Six Flags, like we were talking about two or three episodes ago when Steve and I were there, and the Superman that rotates you, like, that's what makes it different. Like, that's the only thing that makes Superman different is that you're facing the ground. Otherwise, it's literally the Great Bear.
Which Six Flags is that?
In Jersey.
Oh. Because mm-hmm. the Six Flags down in, can't remember, in Ship Park, Maryland. No, that's tons of gang violence. Like,
I was about to say,
they have the Batwing that does the same thing. It just flips you over, so you're like floating above the ground.
Oh, okay. They have that as the Superman at Six Flags. Right.
I will say, Six Flags is a very dirty-looking park.
That's true. In comparison to Hershey?
Mm-hmm. Everything's faded, and it looks like...
It just looks like old.
No one's been working on this for months.
It's the old grizzled pet.
It's like past regulations.
Yeah. And you're like, well, remember let's go back to the Superman ride. I know we probably already discussed this already, but it's like all stuff from the 90s.
Yeah, all the posters and everything. Yeah. They had like character posters basically explaining almost Superman's whole cast. Mm-hmm. And all of it was the 90s Superman. Like, I know Superman, I've read the comics back in the 90s, as I do now. But, like, it was all, like, their characterizations in the 90s, and I'm pretty sure the Superman that they were even showing was Mullet Superman from the 90s.
Sweet mullet, bro.
Yeah. Right after he got resurrected, they're just like, let's get Superman a mullet. That's gonna make him hardcore and edgy.
Just like Joe Dirt.
Exactly.
They're both pretty cool.
Stick your head up your ass and fight for air! But, another thing we were talking about, Atlanta last night.
Right.
Oh my god.
Donald Glover's new show, Atlanta, is fucking fire.
So phenomenal. Such a good show.
Is on fire!
Truth.
I still haven't gotten a chance to watch it. I know both of you guys are raving.
It's a show. New TV series. It's on FX.
Yeah, it's on FX.
I know you both are raging about it. I haven't gotten to check it out yet.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. You have to. But, it's very, like, dry humor. Like,
very subtle, quick.
So probably it's not right up our boat.
Yeah, and then it's a dramedy. But then just these little quips. Mm-hmm. Like, Donald Glover is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then even, like, the two other main guys in the show are fantastic as well.
Paper boy. All about that paper boy.
so you paper boy.
But no, just like it was very funny, but then it also touched on a bunch of different like social topics.
Right.
Like in the show he has a baby, probably about one and a half.
Yeah.
And like his baby mom, his girlfriend, they're like wanting to get off again.
Right. They're best friends essentially, but they live together, but she's seeing other people.
And, like, it's him, like, working this, like, shitty...
Dead-end job,
trying to figure it out. And his cousin becomes a rapper and starts, like, blowing up locally. Mm-hmm. So he goes to try and get involved. But then also it touched on mental health. And it touched on, the spectrum of sexuality. Mm-hmm. And just, like,
Jesus, sounds like a whole lot of topics to cover in just one episode.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They touch on him real quick, and it's like Donald Glover, like his character.
Kind of like, here's a taste. We're going to explore this more.
Right, yeah. Like, his character, he's a Princeton dropout, mm-hmm. and they haven't said why or anything.
Right.
Yeah. But I think, like, we were saying this last night, it's like, it's alluding to he's got some mental health issues.
Yeah, that's what, like, I read it online that somebody kind of had a fan theory that, like, his main character had mental health issues or like an episode of some sort, and that's why, because there's one part where he, like, his character got accepted to Princeton,
right,
And so, like, his dad and his cousin are talking about it, because his cousin's the one that he wants to get involved with since he's starting to, like, do the stuff that he wants to do and get involved with. And he's just like, what happened to Princeton? He's just like, I don't know.
It's like, you have a better chance of finding out than I would.
Yeah. But it was extremely well done. It was funny as shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I'm excited.
The best was on, the scene with the, I'm going on a date. Like, ooh, mommy's going out with some corny dude. What's that? Oh no, this is a great environment for you.
his like, girlfriend / baby mama is just like, I'll be back at 11, and he's just like, that's pretty late. You taking your parents out? And he starts, like, naming all this. He's like, are you taking them to Cheetahs? Because Folly's a much better club. And from what I've read, it's very true to
the
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Like, I remember...
People have been saying, like, it captures the atmosphere pretty close.
Like, I remember listening to when he put out the Stone Mountain Kauai tape / EP, and he mentioned a bunch of different spots, but they also showed up in the show. But the tape was, like, a year or two ago.
Hmm.
So it was kind of like... Stone Mountain is in Atlanta, so he was talking about different parts of Atlanta and kind of like going back and like rapping over old beats and just kind of like having fun with it. But then it was also like one of those things, like, he mentioned J.R. Crickets and they went to J.R. Crickets to get wings, and then he was talking about Five Points and the old dude was talking about how he was catching the bus from Five Points, and he mentioned Cheetahs and he mentioned Follies.
And all these actual
going
like
back,
yeah.
So it was from what I've read and what I've looked up, it was actually very good. And Luke was saying that it kind of reminded him of the Heartbeat video.
Right, there's a music video with Donald Glover, Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
Basically what happens, it's he starts out, he picks up a girl, she gets in the backseat, and they're like just kind of driving through what seems like, it looks like it's probably Atlanta, and it's kind of some cinematography that matches what the show is. I never heard the theory that you said about how, like, because... Then he pulls over, something in the music in the back, they get in the backseat, and they start, like, messing around a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just midway, she just stops, and then she starts driving. It's like the metaphor of whoever's driving is in control of the relationship.
Exactly. Mm.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like he goes, he picks her up, he's the aggressor, and then it's just them making out in the backseat, but that's kind of like
the switchover.
Yeah, it's a switchover, and it's kind of like
where she gains the power.
Exactly, that's the illusion to like sexual interaction, and then she drives the car, and then eventually it just turns to like she drops him off. Like,
right,
that's it. But I looked at the plates on the car, and it was in California, so it might be in Cali.
Maybe not necessarily the setting, but
yeah,
more
like
the
cinematography.
The
very similar. Like
very cool.
Yeah, it's very awesome. And I was telling him just another video in general is Telegraph Ave. That is a mindfuck if you have not seen it. Also by Childish Gambino.
Yeah, I still need to watch that.
That's awesome. Same with Sweatpants.
Yeah. Okay, I've seen Sweatpants.
Yeah.
So watch Atlanta, everybody. It's dope.
So I actually wanted to turn this over then. To what I was doing today, I got the first time I've ever done this. Alex and I actually stayed at Steve's place last night just because it is closer to where we're going. I went to a Renaissance fair for the first time.
Nice.
And that
Behold
was pretty...
Behold the future, man.
That was pretty wild. Like, it was cool. Like, I don't know. It's the first time I ever went to one. And, I mean, you know, you see a whole bunch of the people in costumes and all that kind of stuff. People around and... I mean, one of the best things is you can just get a gigantic turkey leg walking around.
Like,
well,
yes.
Which is what I did. I just grabbed his turkey. I'm like, just walking around watching stuff. I think the best part, though, was the little performances that they had people doing. Like, we happened to walk in when the king was just supposedly getting to the Shire and everything. And, like, they were doing, like, this grand introduction. And everyone's like, my liege, my lord, and blah, 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 and that kind of thing. And then the king was actually walking around, like, the park the entire day, but he kept on stopping in these certain arenas at certain times and doing performances, basically. Like, there was a jousting match where they had people going and jousting, and he showed up right as the match is about to begin, and he's just like, hey, we'll be jousting, this will be great, and then... At one point, because of, and this was the cool thing, is like they kept on interconnecting all of the events that were happening. Like in the very beginning one, where he gets introduced, a guy insults him and it insults his intelligence. So they're like, okay, well, we have peons to our disposal. We're going to have a human chess battle later on today.
Huh.
And so they have a human chess battle where they have like a gigantic grass chessboard, and they have people, and like you had seen these guys, like the knights that were on the chessboard, you had seen in the jousting, and they were actually going to come back and joust later on for other reasons. And then so during the chess match, then it'd be like at one point they had the guy that insulted the king and the king, and they sent their knights after each other, and the knights were the knights that were jousting. And so then the entire field clears and they start fighting. Like they bring out their swords and their shields and they just start going at, like, actual fighting wise. And then the one beats the guy and then like does something very unchivalrous and like breaks his arm or something afterwards after he like gives up. But then they go back out onto the chess match. Everyone runs back out and they're like, all right, my pawn to b2 kind of thing. And then like if another match happens up, then the entire field clears and they start going at it again. And then it was kind of cool because at one point the king got into a battle with the guy that that he was fighting with. Like the king actually came out and he's like, all right, let's do this, like threw down his robe. And then because of that though, the one knight got injured and they're like, well, we're supposed to have this jousting match later. And the king's like, I got this, I'll be in the jousting match. And I was like, it was supposed to happen at 6. I was kind of like, I kind of want to stay and watch that. Like, I'm like, podcasting or watching the king's jousting? Like, ah! I don't know. It was really cool though. I liked how they were all interconnecting everything. And then in between, there's a whole ton of different stuff going on. Like, anyone who's happened to be following me on Snapchat would have seen. There's like this circus at one point, this mini circus of these two people and everything, but they're doing a whole bunch of stuff. I've Snapchatted a guy tossing up, juggling flaming sticks while balancing like three more flaming sticks on his head kind of thing. Like it's pretty wild stuff. I was like, not bad, not bad. And I mean, the best part is that we got the tickets for free, so yeah. Can't beat that.
Free
can't
shit
beat
is free the best shit.
Exactly.
So that's the type of party I'd want to go to. That's like, Steve and I were talking about the Get Down. If anybody, there was one scene where they go to this party, and Steve and I were just like, we don't care that it's like a bunch of drag queens. We'd love to go to that party. It was awesome looking.
Why not?
But no, the Get Down is actually a very phenomenal show as well. If you guys, we talked about Dope before. The guy, the main character from that, is one of the main leads in there as well.
Oh, okay.
And it's set in like the late 70s, early 80s, with all the graffiti writers and like all the b-boys and all that stuff.
Who's the guy from Dope?
Yeah, he was the guy from Dope. Yeah. Oh, Shaolin Fantastic.
Oh.
Yeah, same guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shameik Moore, I think that's his name.
Okay. Yeah. And it's all about just like, a bunch of kids from New York decide to like make a rap crew and a DJ crew and just all the stuff that happened. It's very well done, and like you can tell like they put a lot of thought into this. It wasn't just like, oh, let's make this really cool DJ show.
And it's rap.
Yeah, rap.
But no, it was really well done. And Steve and I were talking about that the other weekend, and I mean, definitely like just check it out. It's fucking fantastic.
It's Shaolin Fantastic.
Shaolin Fantastic.
Wow.
His red Pumas are never dirty.
They are never dirty. Never. Nor is his jacket or his mesh top.
Nope. Always gotta ride clean in your OJ.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, but yeah, that's another one that it talked about, like in the, I think it was the early 80s, like pretty much the Bronx got fucked up because a lot of people with money came in.
Before
like,
Giuliani came in.
They got fucked up and put, like, I think they built a bridge, like, right through the middle of it and just, like, displaced a bunch of people and all the housing projects and all that kind of shit. So it talks about that and talks about, like, it captures the whole area and the whole feeling very well. Like, they did a very, very good job.
Nice.
I dig it.
Can you dig it? That's another movie.
I watched that the other day. It happened to be on, it was like Sundance or Independent Film Channel or something like that. And I was like, oh my god.
That's a good
Warriors
movie.
Is a
just fucking phenomenal.
Warriors.
I heard they're doing a remake of it. They're trying. They're trying to do like an updated remake of it.
You see, that's just that's, I don't know if you can do an updated version of that though.
You
like,
have to base it in the 70s.
Exactly, because with today's technology and all this kind of stuff, like, oh no, we're trapped here. Somebody just ring up an Uber for us, please.
Exactly.
Like,
or what if it was one of those situations? Because remember, there's been a couple times where big cities like that, they lose power.
Yes. Right. Yes.
So, even if you did get an Uber,
I don't
you
know.
Don't know where the Uber driver could be an enemy.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, it could still happen.
All I'm gonna say is that if they're gonna remake it, and if they're remaking it with a modern update to it, they are going to have to tweak some things.
Oh, yeah,
oh absolutely.
Course.
That was the other thing about the Get Down, though. It almost felt like the Warriors too. That almost felt like a sequel to the Warriors.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. Like back then, it was like you'd had DJ crews, and I remember you were saying like you didn't. You found out the DJs that they were talking about were actual people, which they were. Like they talked about Cool Herc and they talked about Grandmaster Flash, and it was almost like it was like a subculture, but it was like you had battles between like full neighborhoods. Like it could be Nick could be the best DJ in his neighborhood.
Oh yeah,
and I'm the best DJ in my neighborhood.
Oh hell no!
And then exactly you have a clash, and everybody like brings their sound systems out, and they'll have like b-boy battles in the park, and it'll be like sun up to sundown event. But it was like
that's it. We doing this, Marcus.
But that's the thing. That was also very much a part of the culture as well. Like you had dudes like rocking the fucking patches, and they were known. Like you don't go over there unless you have shit to do because. There were gangs and shit everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it does have a very similar feel, but it's also because like the time period was also very much like that.
And that record that never broke.
Yeah, yeah. I know. You were so furious. You were like, the show was fantastic, but the only thing that I did not like was the fucking record didn't break.
So they have this record in the show, and they just keep throwing it. Like, the first time it was Shaolin Fantastic. I'm just gonna spoil this part. Shaolin Fantastic.
Spoilers, la la la! Just kidding.
It's jumping over a building, makes the jump, but like barely, drops the record, and you have the main character. I can't remember the
Books.
Main character. Books.
Books.
Ezekiel catches Books. It, but I think it falls on the ground actually before he even grabs it.
Yeah.
So even there it would have broken. And then later on, Books takes it to the club.
Yeah,
and then
Les Inferno.
The bouncer throws it across the street. It lands on its side. He pulls it out, and it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, that would have been broken.
But Steve was so adamant. He's just like, the show was fantastic. I loved every second of it. But the fucking record didn't break.
I mean, sometimes, you know, there's just those little things that just pull you right out of it. You're like, man.
Yeah, yeah. Steve, you did not believe the crown. You just didn't.
That had nothing to do with not believing. That everything to do with not believing in physics.
Well, it's
gravity.
It's a show.
It destroyed the illusion.
It's like, you know.
Well, it's like the other morning we were watching, what was it? The original Star Trek series.
Nice, because they just celebrated their 50th anniversary.
Yep.
And so shows, of course, back then didn't have as well as, you know, showrunners. So obviously you have horrible, like, stage fighting.
Oh my god, yeah.
The fucking dude, like, the lizard
scene. Yeah, that's the episode we were watching. I watched that entire scene.
No, the best is always just watching Kirk Shatner do the double fist where, like,
right.
Just, like, holds
just
like fists, oh,
and
bam!
It's not even, like, there's no finesse to it. He's just like,
exactly.
And double axe handle.
And then there's
exactly.
Like, the lizard comes at him, and they like literally are hugging and just like, and just like twisting back and forth. And then Kirk escapes. And then so he climbs, he looks up on a mountain, and he sees where the lizard guy is just chilling, doing something. And he looks up on this mountain, and there's a boulder just very conveniently placed
on the top.
Right on top, like right above where the lizard's standing. So he climbs up there, and right when he pushes it, the lizard looks up and sees it. He's staring at the boulder the entire way down as it comes and smashes him. It's like, oh my goodness.
Well, you see, anytime I see that episode, I always instantly just go back and think of Flash Gordon. Because in the movie, there's this one terrible scene where, like, they were trying to show, like, you're trapped on here, you can't get out, and they have this lizard man that I think they literally just called lizard man, trying to run away. Like, it's a very shortcut scene, but he's trying to escape, and you just hear over the intercom, "Where do you think you're going, lizard man?" And all it is that he just turns around and goes, and then, like, this laser just comes and completely evaporates him.
Oh, my goodness.
It was so bad, but, yeah, I mean, when Steve and I and a couple of our other friends watched it for the first time, we were dying laughing at that. Like, it was just so bad.
That's, like, certain movies you go back and you watch because you were young and you're just like, this movie's awesome, yeah. And then you watch it and you're just like,
this is garbage.
This is a cinematic cesspool. Hey, the fucking Mortal Kombat movie.
Mortal Kombat!
Oh, like, they tried so hard.
They did,
and they just couldn't
pull it together.
That, like we said before, there's just so much that goes into video games that it's hard to make a movie out of it. Right?
Yeah, we were discussing that last week with Eric.
I think the only thing you can go back, and I don't know if you guys have ever watched Twilight Zone, but the only thing only thing you can go back to watch Twilight Zone is that you could just suspend disbelief on that show, and it's great. It's just
I think Twilight Zone, like, even the original ones, they still hold up pretty darn well for the most part.
Yeah, it's good. I think they're decent special effects for the time.
For the time, yeah. I mean, even, like, the old-school black and white ones. I mean, yeah, when you see something blown up or something, like, the one episode where the guy, like, becomes, like, the last man on Earth and just wants to read and all that stuff, if you guys have ever seen that one. Like, I remember seeing where, like, they showed, like, stuff blown up and, like, the carnage afterwards, and, yeah, it looks like everything's made out of cardboard. Probably because it was, but at the same time, like, again, like, a little suspension of disbelief, like, all right, this still works. It doesn't quite work the same in the Mortal Kombat movie. Like, I'm suspending my disbelief as far as I can, and I still can't do it.
He's got the ice force field, and the Kang finds the water.
Did they make a second one?
Yeah, they made, like, two or three.
No, there was Mortal Kombat, and then there was Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah.
And then there was, like, the cartoon, which was, like, PG, so it sucked
in. Of course it sucked.
And then...
cartoon.
And then they made, like, a live-action series, and I think they might have, like, gone back and made, like, one that was more so for adults, but it was animated.
Oh, no, have you ever seen it on YouTube? There's one, this isn't Mortal Kombat, but they use Street Fighter characters, and it's, like, Street Fighter characters in high school, and it's a live-action thing.
Yes, I've seen that one.
That is hilarious.
That is very good. I've seen that one. There's also one where it's the 2D sprites, and somebody went and did Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter, and that was really well done, even though it was just, like, the little 2D guys.
Mm-hmm.
But that was very good. And then there was, I think, I can't remember how to say the channel's name, but I think it was, like, Mishima or Machina or something like that.
Yeah.
They did, like, a Mortal Kombat miniseries, and that was
pretty good. That's a couple years
and
ago.
And then apparently there was a fan made Street Fighter, like, miniseries as well, and I heard that was really good as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. I mean,
like, Mortal Kombat's like would be the hardest show to do for a series because there's so much, like, you know, diverse characters that look like just different kind of visual effects necessary to do so, and that just gets more expensive.
Not to mention, it's, like, so much lore, and they keep resetting it, so there's so many cannons and all that type of shit.
Exactly.
I think, to me, if they made it, like, the original, like, they took it down to Mortal Kombat 1, and then maybe stuck with, like, two or three characters, because if you think about it, even the original roster had, like, what, eight characters?
Eight characters, I believe it was.
Yeah, so that's still a lot going on. Right, and then you think about it, like, now it's up to, like, 50, 60 characters.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's any fighter game nowadays. Like, it's just crazy how many they have.
But Street Fighter has a cartoon, and that cartoon's very well done, but it's kind of like, it's very focused on, I believe it's Ryu and how he kind of goes through and interacts with all the other characters.
It's just like, it's from his perspective as opposed to trying to bounce between different plot lines. And shit.
Yeah, but it also, like, it goes into, like, Alpha and EX and all that, and it shows, like, the other, like, the off-brand, not necessarily the off-brand, but the
offshoots.
Like, yeah, the offshoots and the characters that were popular for this one and that one. So it does it very well, though.
Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, I wanted to bring up something earlier. I don't have the article in hand, but I thought it was an interesting read because it was an article, I don't remember the exact title, but somewhere along the line of, like, the U.S. is split when it comes to creativity, like an artistic creativity in any way, shape, or form. Okay. And now...
What do you mean, like, are you talking about, like, the views
like
of arts?
Like, geographically split.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And they start out with, like, traditionally, the idea has always been that, like, if you're on the coast, like, the East Coast, West Coast, either coast, but, like, bigger city yeah. center areas, because, like, you don't have, like, as big of cities more you go inward right. and whatnot.
Exactly.
That those tend to be the hubs of creativity and that kind of thing. Like,
okay.
But what it actually showed, and this was really interesting, because how they did it is, like, they were polling people, and it was, like, they had it where people were... Like, there is, like, a dark red, and then, like, a lighter red, and then, like, down to, like, a pink, and then, like, a lighter pink, and then, like, a white or something like that, which represented how much of the population, which I think it went up to, like, 70% said that they either worked in or pursued in some way, shape, or form some kind of artistic creative outlet. And what it was, though, is that it wasn't a split of coast, it was a split of north and south. Basically, after about halfway through Maryland, it just, like, the creativity kind of thing, and then, like, this goes across the entire country, almost, like, yeah. it's almost like a straight line, it's kind of creepy, like, just drops drastically, like, huge, huge downfalls, and I thought that was interesting to read, because,
Well, I'm thinking right now, because, like, I could see it on one hand with, because you have New York City, it's more north, mm-hmm. and that's a big, obviously, big
hub. Sure, it's a big hub,
but
yeah.
then you've got L.A., which mm-hmm. is down in Southern California, like, probably the next biggest creative hub as well. I don't know,
it seems like
it seems kind of counterintuitive, yeah.
Right, yeah.
But no, that's how this map was portraying it, and I was just like, that's kind of interesting, just because, We are in Pennsylvania, we're kind of actually close to, like, where that line was right. for, like, the big drop, but yet, and maybe it's just, like, you know, people bring each other together, but I'm just like, half of my friends, at least in some way, shape, or form, are creative and try to put out something one way or another. I mean, like, I don't know how exactly artistically creative you can even say the podcast is, but at the same point, it's some kind
of... endeavor.
It's some kind of outlet to a degree, but then, I mean, the rest of us, like, Marcus and I have talked about how we write and kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and Luke acts, and Steve does a whole lot of, like, the artistic stuff when it comes to the editing and those kind of purposes, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, it's kind of interesting, just, like, I just thought it was weird. I just thought it was a bizarre thing where it was such a drastic drop-off, and they said that in part of it was probably because there's still, like, kind of goes back to even... 1800s, like Civil War kind of thing, like the rich North and the poor South.
Yeah,
And they were saying, like, well, obviously, when you have less money, you don't have a whole lot of room to think, like, oh, I'm going to be creative, when you're thinking, oh, how am I going to get dinner on the table?
Exactly. Like, right. And yeah, that's one of the things we kind of struggle with just as people in general, because there's one rapper, Logic, from Maryland. And he had his album called The Incredible True Story, and one of the like outros was talking about, it was an old thing about, like, how we all want to be writers and we want to be poets and we want to do all this stuff, but people are afraid to do that because, frankly, shit doesn't pay the bills.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of like, mm-hmm. you have to, you know, as much as it sucks, like we all love doing that stuff, but
if you're not doing anything noteworthy, then it's hard to get by.
And that's kind of one of the things, like, with being a creative, like you said, we all love to do stuff, we all are very creative, we're all very good as far as thinking, but
we all have bills too.
Yeah, like man, like, I wish I was a Hilton, this should be awesome. I'm just like, do I want to make an album? Hell yeah, I'm gonna make an album.
Exactly. It's just like, yeah, this would be great.
It's like,
but
my agent calls me up, is like, hey, you want to be in this show? I'm like, sure, fine, done. Got a job.
Like, and that's the thing, like, which sucks, because, you know, I'm pretty sure you went and you did theater, so, but you have people that are just like, why would you do that? Like, why don't you go work in medical, or why don't you do that? And it sucks.
Why don't you do something with your life?
Yeah, because it's like the whole frowning upon creative people, but, like, let's say, oh, so you, if you frown upon the creative types, if you went to school for, like, an arts degree or something, well then stop watching TV, stop listening to music, don't go to the movies, mm-hmm. because that's all, like, they're no entertainment for you, because those are those people that did that.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I, like, sometimes, just internally, like, I struggle with. Like I love being creative, but I'm just like, sometimes I wish I was just good at nursing, because nursing, or I was good at engineering, because, like, that type of shit is, like, very lucrative, right. as opposed to me being able to sit down and just be like, alright, I can think of a really cool idea for a screenplay.
Yeah.
I could toss it to Luke, or I could, like, sit down and, like, you know, write my ass off. I know it's going to get, you know, I can throw it to a literary mag for school or this or that, but it's not going to make me money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of fortunate in that aspect that I can decently write, and then I also have my computer skills.
Yeah.
So exactly. I'm kind of like, I'll do the writing thing on the side, and, you know, maybe something happens, maybe nothing does, whatever. It's still an outlet for me. And then I'm like, but I can still pay my bills.
Yeah, and that's, like, another thing, like, computers, I'm just like, like, I know my way around them, but I'm not, like, Nick or Steve with their advanced Tony Starkness.
hardly on that level, I wish, but,
It's like Steve Jobs said, like, when it comes to computers, like, no one cares how it works, just as long as
it works. Yeah.
But that's anything, like, look at a mechanic. Why do you think mechanics make fucking boatloads of money? Mm-hmm. Same with plumbers, same with carpenters, like...
That's true. Well, it's also kind of that those are more of the, I don't want to, like, almost dying out jobs to a degree, because, like, I feel like there's probably less and less of them, but at the same time, those not are
mechanics.
Kind of...
You're always going to be a mechanic.
No, I absolutely agree.
He's saying is, like,
you need them, but less people,
like,
are doing
it. There are less people who are going to pursue that.
Because, like, and like, I think a huge part of that, at least for our generation, is because there's been that big push of, you have to go to college, as opposed to, like, oh, go to a 2-year vocational school where you can learn this entire life trade and go.
And that's another thing that kind of sucks for this rigmarole / go-around generation is, our parents and our grandparents and our aunts and our uncles are just like, yeah, go to college. Mm-hmm. You'll get a job.
Yeah.
Because
that simple. It was
that simple. It really was
for them. And that cheap. And it was cheap to do.
Like, they could, like, a semester at a decent school was, like, $2,000 for them.
I remember my great aunt when she went to a...
Here we go. I found
Western the map. Maryland College, but then now McDavid, but I digress.
Sorry.
One semester was like $387. She showed me, like, a receipt for it. Like, full time semester. Like
that's a book now.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, okay. Give credit where credit is due. It's from the Washington Post, people. I had to Google it and find it, but yeah, like, it's an interesting divide. Like, and if you see, it's saying, like, the percentage of people, and it's all dark, and then it just kind of starts going down.
It's a really quick drop-off. It says artworks. Does that encompass all forms of art?
Basically any kind of art. Like, if you're a carver, or if you're a writer, if you're an actor, or you play a musical instrument, so like anything that you can consider artist.
Okay, gotcha. The title said artworks. I wasn't sure if there's
something. I was gonna say, and then, like, if you look at the cities that have, like, that are heavily populated, they all have really big cities that are well known.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, but, like,
for the LA thing,
not even just
there's so many people. You gotta think, there's so many people in LA. Mm-hmm. The movie industry makes up a small.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably like a small pocket.
Right.
But that's like,
even New York isn't like a very dense area for that.
No, but a lot of like, kind of like how Hollywood is for movies, New York is for record deals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Yeah. And I found it interesting. I was sending you guys this interview. I almost did, but this one rapper, Vince Staples from California, he was talking about how he wanted to do this program for kids to kind of show them, like, while you may not be the star, there are other jobs that you can do in this industry. Like, you could be an A&R, or you could be a songwriter, which I would fucking love.
Oh, yeah.
I would absolutely love.
It was like, I was listening to the radio the other day, the girl who, you know the song Monster, Eminem, Rihanna?
Yeah.
The girl who wrote the song, neither Rihanna nor, well, Eminem wrote his rap, of course.
Yeah.
But the girl, she can't remember her name, but she wrote the chorus for that song, and originally she was going to
she wanted to sell it so she could perform with Eminem with it, but the studio or the company wasn't having it. They're like,
they shut it down.
Yeah, they're like, we
need somebody bigger.
It's like, we need somebody bigger. It's like, if you're gonna do it, we're not gonna pay you anything. Like, we'll pay you for the rights. Well, but
I'm curious as to why in Colorado, was it Wyoming, Idaho, all these places, why is it so?
Probably because their populations are so little.
Yeah, there's
that, like, you have the handful of people that are creative and that can kind of, like, balance it out.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, relatively speaking, for the expanse of amount of land that those places have, it's so little population.
And this is from, like, 24... This map itself is from 2014.
Yes. Yes.
So, this could be...
The article is from this past week, but yes, the map is from 2014, so who knows, maybe it's changed. I'm sure it has.
I don't think in 2 years it wouldn't change that much.
Probably not that much, but at the same point, though, because if you look, though, you can see that literally, like, once you hit Pennsylvania, like, it just starts getting lighter and lighter down below. Like, I'm like, that's interesting. We kind of, like, hit that line right there, guys, considering we're only 20 miles away from Maryland as it is, and that's one of the paler ones, and I don't know, when I saw that article, I was like, that's an interesting thing.
Well, this should be
Alaska's like, hey, we're really creative.
I laughed because
you have to be to live.
It's like, how do I do this, Dad? Figure it out. It's cold.
Well, I laughed because they didn't even include Hawaii.
No, Hawaii's on there. It's
is it? I didn't see
it. It's like super light.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like you can barely see it.
I didn't even see it. I thought they just didn't include Hawaii.
It's like the white zone.
This is an interesting concept, though, because, like, people who are looking for new creative minds could use the map and be like, let's go to Maine, look for a talent, like, a talent scout. Like,
I mean, you look up in that New England, Northeast area, like, that is just, boom, super dark right now.
No, you want to go to Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Colorado.
But those are bigger places. You'd have to search harder to find the people. You go to the smaller places where it's more dense.
Colorado's pretty big.
Rocky Mountain High. You know, that takes, that song, it's a John Denver song, that takes on a whole new meaning now. Rocky Mountain High.
It definitely does. Something interesting that my friend's mother was telling me about is a lot of the medical marijuana companies are actually going public. So you can buy stock.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And since it's becoming more prevalent everywhere else, it'd kind of be smart to get stock in it.
Yeah.
Surprised Philip Morris hasn't jumped on top of that.
What's that?
Surprised Philip Morris hasn't jumped on top of that. Like, Philip Morris is a major cigarette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, I think it's with the election coming up this year, I think it's 5 more states are going to be voting on whether or not to legalize it recreationally.
Yeah, and I mean, if you do your research, and I was talking to her, I was like, yeah, I'd like to come over one day and, like, sit down and chit-chat and just kind of see what you found. She's like, sure, but with just how many states are now starting to be like, you know what?
Why not?
Maybe all those fucking 20-year sentences for nickel bags aren't that bad anymore. Yeah. Like, fuck out of here and suck 8 dicks.
I thought you were about to say for nickel back, and I'm like, no, those are still bad. And if anything, they should be in there for life.
Look at this graph. Jesus Christ. But no, like, they're starting to wise up on shit, and it's kind of like...
Maybe this was a bad idea.
But think about all the people that got busted for, like, dime bags and shit.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like, well, no. I mean, Obama's just been setting those guys free like crazy lately. Like,
yeah.
Have you ever seen... He did something like another, like, 100 the other week. Like, just like, all right, nope, these are stupid. You're out.
Like, have you ever seen the movie Blow? The Johnny Depp, he plays... George Jung, who's a big coke dealer back in, like, the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
So the movie came out in 2000. So it was probably definitely more prevalent than it is now because we're being more progressive. But it has like one last closing, the title's at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, first, the average sentence for a first-time drug offender is longer than that of like a thief, like burglary, sexual assault,
mm-hmm.
and all these different crimes. I think the only major one that wasn't on there was murder.
So, yeah. Because it was like fucking it was Reagan and the fucking war on drugs.
Yes, war on exactly. drugs. Yeah,
and then also one of the interesting things that I saw in a documentary was you would get more time for rock cocaine than you would powder cocaine, but the only thing you do is you add heat to it and you add baking soda.
I was about to say, why is that?
Because it was just one of those things. Like it was like rock cocaine is worse for everybody.
So sugar artery. Yeah.
Yeah, you could. I think for like a gram. I think it was like 5 years for every gram as opposed to like
Jesus.
2 to 3 for regular cocaine. But yeah, rock cocaine, you get fucked.
Crack like, is whack though.
But the thing, but that's the thing. Like, yeah, like.
We here at Trophy Husbands do not endorse.
Oh no, we definitely don't. But also, it goes back to socioeconomics because where was crack prevalent? Crack was prevalent in inner cities and poorer areas as opposed to regular cocaine. And was just like
cocaine, the rich man.
Cocaine is a rich man's drug.
It was. I mean, they look at like shit like Studio 54. They were average. Like they had the giant fucking coke spoon that was like a disco ball. Like this shit is groovy, dudes. But if you got caught with rock cocaine, you know you have a cellmate named Tiny that's going.
That ain't so tiny.
Yeah, you gonna eat your cornbread? Because if not, you know shit's gonna get hairy. Like, but that's the thing. Like, yeah, you said like rich. Again, rich man's drug, poor man's drug. They actually had fucking like advertisements for different ways to smoke and transport your cocaine safely. Like, do you? it just hurts my brain.
It was a different time. It was a different time.
It really was, but is it really that much different? Honestly,
I mean. We're not all, like, going to discos anymore.
But no.
Like, I don't wear platform shoes. I know a couple people do, but...
I mean, I'm just saying, if there's a disco, like a solid disco, I'm in that bitch.
Marcus Lee, I am John Travolting down there right
hell,
now.
I'll go to Salvation Army and get a paisley suit on Wednesday.
Marcus is going to put on his phone. He's just going to hear the Bee Gees. He's like, you can tell that he's a wanted man.
Hell yeah. For the fucking Get Down, Miguel did a remake of this disco band's song Cadillac by, they were Hot Chocolate, but I just put that on my phone. I got it anyway. Like, it's fantastic. But, like, think about the war on drugs in general. People have admitted that it's a fucking failure.
They spent trillions of dollars.
It's one of
wasting.
It's kind of like one of those useless trophy things. Like the war on drugs is a participation trophy to show that look at what we've done when you haven't done anything but waste people's time. Like if you're out there and you got like serious weight and you're fucking shit up, that's one thing. But if you're caught with like a dime bag and then you catch a fucking dub, which is 20 years, which has happened to people, you know, you're like
you're messed for life.
Yeah, you're fucked for life because you got busted with a dime bag and I don't even smoke. And you guys can attest to me not smoking.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, this shit is fucked up. Yeah, like I don't dabble in shit, but I know when dumb is dumb. Yes. Like
dumb is dumb and dumb is dumb.
So we were talking about heroin earlier, you know, that's like you don't touch that shit.
Absolutely not.
Stupid is a stupid dude.
Well, that's the thing. Like, heroin came out of fucking nowhere. And, like you were saying, Baltimore.
Back in Maryland, where I'm from, like, the area. My high school was called Heroin High
in
the 80s because there were so many heroin deaths overdosing. And then it's just spread like wildfire since.
Got that 2-for-20 WMD. What up? Oh, shit. He's coming.
Oh, Jesus.
A man must have a code.
But on that note, I'm sweating my balls off, guys. Yeah.
I need to breathe.
Yeah, let's call it an episode. I mean, I enjoyed the sauna, but you know.
Yeah.
Omar coming.
Anyway. For those of you who have never watched The Wire, watch that shit. It's fantastic. Michael K. Williams. Best character pretty much out of the whole damn show.
Yeah, definitely. Alright. I'm Marcus. You can find me on the good old Snapchatty. That's SIRMAV. Find me on your Twitter. That's QUEZMAV. And the same for the IG. QUEZMAV.
I'm Luke. You can find me on Instagram at Twitter at @hook_louver, and then Snapchat, hookluver, no underscore. You can also find me passed out in a ditch on Sunday mornings, probably, too, if you're looking, so...
It's more like we found you and brought you to Greg's.
Something like that.
I'm Steve. I'll see you next week.
And I am Nick. You can find me on Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram, all under NLENZ42. That's NLENZ42. Don't forget to hit up the official Trophy Husbands Twitter at TheTrueTrophies. I think that's about it. So look for new episodes on Trophy Tuesdays. Everyone have a good week.